The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
I want to share with you, this may sound really strange, the most profound piece of wisdom that I have ever learned and that I've ever shared to anybody. We have some friends that have been here a couple times, Peyton and Daniel, their daughter Ellis. They always come over President's Day, so if you haven't met them yet, you'll meet them this coming President's Day, I'm sure. But I'll never forget one night we were sitting in, and every Wednesday, those were our youth workers in Alabama. And so Wednesday, our tradition was after youth, we would go back to our house and we would get food and come back and eat. And we started during COVID because nobody could do anything during COVID except for go to each other's houses and sit. So that's what we did. And I forget, Peyton came to me and she goes, John, do you ever remember the most profound thing you ever taught me? And I was hoping it was going to be something like super cool, right? I'm like, no, Peyton, what was it? You know, like, I like profound things and I didn't know I said anything profound. So yeah, what was it? And she goes, you told me, get in the boat with like-minded people. I said, Peyton, I learned that from a river rat. Like, I learned that from one of the guys that was whitewater rafting. Like, that's what he taught me. So let me give you a little bit of the backstory of the most profound thing I ever taught Peyton. We were going whitewater rafting. We had a group of about 50 to 60 students between two or three churches. We were all going whitewater rafting. And the guy, the river rat, is the guide. That's the person who takes you down the river, doesn't shower all summer long and stuff. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Super cool people. I actually love them. They're some of my really good friends. But he came to me and he said, hey, listen, before you go, you got to get with your group and you've got to tell them, hey, listen, get in the boat with like-minded people. If you want to go and you want to just make it down the river safely, securely, and never falling out, you need to get in the boat with people who want to go safely, securely, and not fall out. If you want to swim halfway down the river, you need to get in the boat with people who want to swim. And I was like, all right, cool. So I went and I told our students, hey, you know, find people who kind of want to have the same experience as you. Well, later on that night, I had to give a devotional, and I had nothing prepared because I'm super prepared all the time. And so I remember going in, and we met in this real, like, hot little, like, loft area for a devotion. And the other pastors that were there, the other youth pastor said, John, it's your turn. You're going to do it. And I was like, okay, awesome. And the only thing I could think of was that phrase, get in the boat with like-minded people. And I want to challenge you, and I want to just submit to you, church, that that is probably one of the most profound lessons I've ever learned in my entire life. Here's why. If you and I are in the boat with like-minded people, we're going to have the great same experience. Now, that was true for river rafting and everything else, but it's very true in life, too. If I'm going to go with like-minded people, then I'm going to experience the absolute best that that life has to offer. I think that God has a tremendous and wonderful life that He wants you and I to experience. But what He needs us to do is He needs us to put ourselves in the boat with like-minded people. So this morning I have the question of who is in your boat. The first boat we're going to look at today is people who have the same need. It's all the way back in Genesis, Paxton, you were right. We were going to go to Genesis this morning, man. It's in Genesis chapter 6. Verses 11 through 22, and it's the story of Noah. I've kind of tried to summarize it there a little bit for you. So it says this, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight. It was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people. The earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. Make for yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make room and coat it with pitch inside and out. Jumping down to verse 18. But I will establish a covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You will bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Noah did everything that God commanded. And then he finishes in chapter 9 of verse 1. You find out, you kind of catch up with the story. Then God blesses Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase the number and fill the earth. We said this is about people who have the same need as us. What did the people that God and Noah's boat need? To be saved, right? Rain's coming. We all know the story of Noah and the ark, the 40 days. Rain's coming. the rains come down and the floods come up, isn't that the way the song goes? All right, so they all needed to be saved. But what's interesting to me, and what was, as I kind of read through this, a couple things stood out. Whose righteousness were they saved because of? Noah. That's right. Because of Noah's righteousness. Listen, this is what it says about Noah. It says that Noah was a man who was blameless among the people of his time. Not that Noah was that great. He was just blameless among the people of his time. Which, again, we found out that wasn't a real high standard. But he was blameless of the people among his time. He walked faithfully with God, and he had three sons. Noah's sons didn't get on the boat with Noah because they were righteous. God didn't say, hey, listen, Noah, those sons of yours, they're really good. Make sure you bring them. Noah's wife didn't get on the boat because she was so righteous. It said, hey, listen, you bring your wife with you. The daughter-in-laws, how many of you guys have a daughter-in-law that you love? If your in-laws are in, look around real quick. Right. That was just a little side note there. Yeah, it wasn't because his daughter-in-laws were super great. None of that happened. The only reason that those people got in the boat was because Noah was righteous. Now, ultimately, what this is a picture of is this is a picture of Christ and what Christ is ultimately going to do for us. Hey, church, can I tell you something right now? Every single one of us is in that boat. Every single one of us needs to be saved. Every single one of us, our righteousness is not enough to save us in and of ourselves. If it were not for the righteousness of Christ, none of us could have a relationship with God. So, cool story. Church is filled with unrighteous people who are made righteous through Christ. Everybody here is in the same boat. We all have the same need to be saved by God's grace. But that's not just what happened in the story. It wasn't just the need to be saved. It wasn't just the need to survive that was met. It was actually the need to thrive. When you look and you go through this story, in chapter 7, verse 2, God tells Noah, not just two of every kind of animal, because that's what we all heard, right? Two by two? If you get a chance today and you're bored, go to chapter 7. Chapter 7, God tells Noah, you're actually supposed to take seven pairs of two of the clean animals and two of the unclean animals. Now, there's lots of reasons as to why that could be. But the reason that gives in Scripture is this, is so that their offspring will flourish and multiply. You know what that means? God wasn't just concerned with the survival of the clean animals. What was important to him was their thriving. He wasn't just trying to get them to survive, just to make another generation. He was concerned with them multiplying and filling the earth. Now, stupid maybe, I don't know, but why is that important? Why would God want to fill the earth with clean animals? What were the Jews allowed to eat? Clean animals. See, this wasn't just about God saving Noah and his family. This was about God providing for them, blessing them, giving them more than they could ever imagine so that they could not just survive, but that they could thrive, that they could flourish, that they could become the absolute best, and that they could enjoy God's absolute best for them. But that wasn't the only thing that was multiples. If you don't know this, you can ask your wife or you can ask your mom or dad later. How many people does it take to make a third person? Okay. If you don't understand it, ask your wife, your mom, somebody later. It takes two people to make a third person. So why in the world do we got Noah and his wife, Noah's three sons and their wives? Because God wasn't just about saving. God was about, hey, listen, multiple generations. From Noah's three sons, there comes multiple different nations, and each one of those nations has different people that are associated with it. God was about making humanity thrive. And so it wasn't just about salvation, and it was about thriving. I can share with you this. And there's a word that, well, hold on. In order for you and I to thrive in our Christian life. Now, I believe this is true in every area, every aspect of your life, but I will go to my grave wholeheartedly saying this. In order for you and I to thrive in our Christian life, we have to be a part of a community. It was not a solo mission. Noah did not need to take his sons along to repopulate the earth. Noah could have picked his favorite son, which would have been the third one, and he could have used him to repopulate the earth. I'm the third one, that's why I said that. He didn't. He took them because this was God's purpose, community. Now, there's a really cool word that I was introduced to here, and I don't know if it's the mentality of our church, but I see it in our church, and I love it. It's fellowship. You are part of a fellowship. When we come together, we are a fellowship of believers. We're not just a community. You know what a community is? Community is proximity. We live in the community of Mooringsport. Now, I may not have a connection with anybody around me, but we all live in the same community. But there are people who I have a connection with that live next to me, right? Because we're in fellowship. I would go further and I would tell you that if you are going to experience God's absolute best in your Christian life, you need to be a part of a fellowship. You need to be a part of joining together with somebody and getting in the boat that says, hey, listen, we're all sinners saved by grace going in a direction to grow and learn in our relationship with Christ. The second boat we find in Scripture that I found in Scripture is this. It's a boat that has the same fears, but different solutions. These are all people who find themselves terrified of the same realities, but have different ways of solving their problem. It's in Jonah chapter 1, verses 3 through 16. And again, I'm trying to paraphrase the story of Jonah for you. Starting in verse 3, it says this, "But Jonah ran away from the Lord. He headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the seas, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid and cried out to their own gods, and they threw cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell asleep." Now later on, once it's discovered that Jonah is the cause of the problem and that the reason that the storm is here is because Jonah is fleeing from God, which he shares with the sailors, they ask Jonah, "Well, what do we do to fix the problem?" And Jonah says in verse 12, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." But instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder before them. Finally, in verse number 16, they gave in. And at this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made a vow to him. After they threw Jonah in the water, you see that the storm calms down, that everything goes back to normal, and that's when the men make a sacrifice and make a vow before God because they realize the significance of the power of the God of Jonah. God provides a fish in verse 17. God provides a giant fish to swallow Jonah. Again, you guys all know that story. But it was interesting as I read through that, they all had the same thing that they were afraid of, right? The storm. Hey, can I share something with you? We've all got fears. Anybody? What's a fear? Somebody? The dark? Okay. What's another fear? Something you can't control. Anybody afraid of sickness? Anybody afraid of real honest? Anybody afraid of death?
Yeah.
I got things I want to see. I'm not quite ready yet. I'm a little bit afraid of that. Anybody? Big one for me. Anybody afraid of failing? Terrified of failing. Anybody afraid of being alone? It's so funny. We all have these fears, and we all have solutions to these fears, right? We all have things that we try. We all have things that we try to process through, and steps we have to go through, and all these things we have to do to try and make ourselves not afraid. Same thing was true in Jonah's life. They all had a fear of being overrun by the storm, and the only thing they found that gave them peace was listening to God. Listen, regardless of what your fear is, one, know this, you're in company of afraid people. Anybody who says they don't have any fears at all is not an honest person. Fear is a part of life. Fear is what we experience. But the cool thing about being in the boat with people who have fears too is, get this, I get to watch your fears and I get to see how you respond to your fears and you get to see how I respond to my fears. And when we're honest and we're vulnerable with our fears, we get to watch God do remarkable things through our fears. And all of a sudden, when we listen to God and we listen to God and what he's telling us to do in our lives, like the sailors listened to Jonah and what God was telling them to do with him, things became calm. I don't have to have the same fear as you right now, but one day I might have the same fear as you. And watching how you respond to it encourages me, strengthens me, causes me to grow in my faith. And so understand that we all are in the same boat with this people who have the same fears. Now granted, your fear may be a little bit different, but we all have fears and we all have different solutions to how to fix them. But we all also know that by coming together, we're stronger because we learn from God's word. You see that fear gave way to worship when they followed God together. The last boat we're going to look at today is people who have the same destination but a different purpose. It's over in Acts chapter 27, which we're going to get there on Wednesday night. I'm going to mention Wednesday night Bible study because it's awesome. If you're not a part of Wednesday night Bible study, you need to be here. We're almost done with the book of Acts, and we're starting to take notes on what our next book is going to be. We're going to get to Acts chapter 27, maybe not this week, maybe next, I don't know. But Acts chapter 27, verse 1 through 44 is where you find the story of Paul's shipwreck. When it was decided that they would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. We boarded a ship from Armenia to sail for the ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we put out to sea. Articus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. There was a centurion found and. There, the centurion found a ship for Alexander, ship sailing for Italy, and put us on board. We're going to stop there for just a second. Here's the cool thing. Where were they all going? Rome. Every single one of those people were going for Rome. But they had different purposes. Some were there as a result of justice. There were criminals that were on the boat with Paul. Some were there to execute justice. There were soldiers that were on the boat with Paul that were executing justice. They were taking the prisoners back to where they were supposed to be. There was one guy that was, it was interesting, I don't know if you read it or not, or if you noticed it or not, Articus from Thessalonica. Anybody know why Articus is mentioned or why Articus is there? Going back a couple chapters in Acts, when Paul preaches the gospel in some Asian Jews get angry about Paul preaching the gospel to Gentiles. They go after followers of this thing called the Way. They attack them in the city court. They drag them mob mentality style, ready to stone them into their courtyard to try them. Articus is one of those guys that they drag out. He was Paul's companion. He followed Paul from, I think it was in Ephesus where that happened. He followed him to Jerusalem. And he follows Paul over and over and over again. And I wondered why Articus was there. And then it came to me. Articus was there to keep Paul company. He was there to encourage and support Paul. That was his purpose. Encourage and support. Paul was there because he had a divine appointment. God had told him that he had to make his case. He had to give his appeal. He had to give his defense before Caesar. And so Paul was there for a divine appointment. All these people were going in the same direction, but they had different purposes and different reasons for going where they were going. It picks up in verse number 22, and he says this, "But I urge you to keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost." A storm sets on him at this moment in time, and as the storm sets on him, everybody starts to panic again. As they start to panic, this is what Paul says to him. "Last night, an angel of God, whom I belong to, the God who I serve, stood beside me. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, and have faith in God. It will be just as it was told to be. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" So to set the story of what happens, the storm sets on him and Paul says, "Listen, guys, don't be afraid. God's told me that I have to go before Caesar. And because of my divine appointment, God has also been gracious enough to spare the lives of all of you. We're going to wreck. We're going to crash. The ship is going to be destroyed. But every single one of you will be saved." Actually, later in chapter 27, it says this, "Not a single hair on your heads will be harmed." Now, for those of us who are a little short up top, I can't imagine being thrown into a sea in the middle of a shipwreck and not a single hair on your head falling off. But that's what Scripture says, and so that's what I believe. When this happens, they finally do run aground. The ship is starting to sink, and the soldiers start to panic. They start to realize that if there's these prisoners that they're escorting escape, their lives will be the cost. And so their plan is this: we're going to slay, we're going to kill every prisoner that's on board so that no one has any chance of surviving, and therefore we'll preserve our own lives. Paul pleads with them and says this in verse number 42. The soldiers plan to kill the prisoners and prevent any from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plans. He ordered those who could jump to jump overboard first and get to the land. The rest were to get there on planks or other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. I told you that all these people had the same destination. They were all going to Rome. They all had different purposes to fill on their way there. While they all had different purposes, they all had a part to play in this journey. Every single one of them had some part that they had to play. If I could pause just for a moment and encourage you, challenge you with one thing, it'd be this. Some of you are trying to go in a direction with other people that you have no purpose in. You have no business being there. Listen, if I'm going to be a good dad and if I'm going to be a good husband, I don't need to be hanging out with guys who go to strip clubs. Kind of common sense, right? If I'm going to be a good dad and I'm going to be a good husband, I don't need to be around guys who their sole focus is on having a good time and doing whatever they want to do and just enjoying life. I need to be spending time with my family. If I'm going to be focused on glorifying God with my life, I don't need to be missing church just because the weather's pretty outside. I don't need to be not a part of Bible study. I don't need to be in God's Word. I don't need to be a part of those different things. If my purpose is this, if this is my end goal, if this is my destination, then I need to make sure that I surround myself with people who have the same destination as me. But it's not just the same destination, because we found out that they all had the same destination. Great. But there was also this part in there that they all had different purposes. That's where we find ourselves as a fellowship, as a church. On the broader scale of things, we're all going in the same direction, and that direction is heaven, right? If you're a follower of Christ today, we're all going the same direction. We're all going to heaven. But the difference is this. There's different parts that each of us have to play. There's different purposes in that direction. On a broad scale, again, we're going to heaven, but we could break it down even more. We're all trying to reach Mooringsport with the good news of Christ, right? We're all trying to reach Caddo Parish with the gospel of Christ. We're all trying to reach Northwest Louisiana. We're all trying to reach the United States. We're all trying to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. But our church has a part to play in it that the church down the street doesn't have a part to play in. God has called us to a mission field. God has gifted us with people, with individuals that are skilled and crafted, designed by Him to do a specific job that only we can do. As far as reaching, it goes beyond that. God has provided us with this thing called the Church Universal. We're all part of it, right? Great. We're all on the same mission. We're all trying to get the good news out. But God has given us, as a fellowship, a chance to reach certain people and individuals. Favorite thing I say to all my kids all the time, you be you, because nobody else can. Listen, we don't need to be the church down the street. You know who we need to be? Mooringsport Baptist Church. You know why? Because Mooringsport Baptist Church has a market that nobody else has. We have an ability. We have a gift. We have a group of individuals that God has designed and purposed and put together as a body to reach somebody for Him. But it's not just us out there within our church. Everybody, do me a favor real quick. Look under your pew. There's a $5 bill taped somewhere. I was just going to see if anybody did it. There's not. It's worth a shot. The pew you're sitting on is not by accident. God's put you here for a reason. You have a part to play. You have a purpose to play in this church, reaching this community, reaching this parish, reaching this state, reaching this world. God's brought you here for a specific reason. You're not here by accident. You're not here by circumstance. You're not here by any of those things. God has brought you here to put you on a ship with people who are going in the same direction as you're going. The question becomes, are you using your purpose? When you look and you go back through these different stories, it's interesting, the people who were in, when you're in the boat with the right kind of people, like the people who were in the boat with Noah, you get to experience shared blessing. Man. Y'all have been blessed just by being around somebody. You know what I mean? Their presence is just a blessing to you. Man, it's so awesome to come in here and just see y'all. This morning I woke up and did my routine backwards. I showered last night before I went to bed, which I showered this morning again, so don't worry, I don't smell too bad. But that was another thing I learned from the River Rats, shower consistently. But it took me until about 3 o'clock in the morning to fall asleep just because I was like wired like from showering and everything like that, and my mind was running, I was thinking. And then this morning my alarm went off, and at first I was like, oh, it's so early. Not quite enough sleep. But then, you know what came to my mind? I wonder whose face I'm going to get to see today. I wonder who I'm going to get to talk to. I wonder what conversation I'm going to get to have. I wonder what we're going to get to share together when I go to church. And so, you are the reason I got out of bed this morning. To see you all, to enjoy being with you all. I'm blessed by your presence, and I hope that you're blessed by somebody else's presence here, because sometimes when we get in the boat with the right kind of people, we get to see the blessings of God just by being in the right boat. Another thing we get to experience is you get to experience seeing God move together. I've told you, I've already given my shameless plug for Wednesday night Bible study. It's awesome because we're just having a blast. Can I tell you one of my most underrated favorite parts of Wednesday night? Hearing stories of what God's doing in your life through prayer time. I know it seems kind of strange because we read the same prayer request over and over and over every week. And sometimes we don't have any updates. But every once in a while, they'll say, hey, take him off. They couldn't find that anymore. The test that they had, it was wrong. The thing that we've been praying for finally happened. They're better. They're healed. They're whole. They're whatever the case is. Man, we've got so many prayer requests that I love seeing God move in our church. And so I go over those prayer requests every single week with you, not because I don't remember them or because I think it's super important that we read every single name. I do it because we get to see God moving together in the life of our church. By sharing those requests with each other, we get to see all that God's doing. Because listen, there are times where God isn't doing anything in my life. I've got a prayer request that's been on my list for about a year now. Haven't seen what I want to see in that prayer request yet. And there are times it gets discouraging. And there are times that I'm like, man, I'm just done. I'm not going to pray for this anymore. You know what keeps me going? Hearing what God did in some of your prayer requests. It's like, man, God, if not yet, it's coming. If not yet, it's coming. That victory is coming. That thing that I'm praying for is coming. That thing that is there, I'm praying for it. I'm going to hold on to it. And I'm going to continue to pray for it because I'm watching how God is moving and working in other people's lives. And it encourages me to stick to what I believe is going to happen. The last thing that happens when we get in the boat with like-minded people, as with Paul, we get to experience God's grace together. We get to be reminded of God's grace. We get to be encouraged by God's grace. All the people, the centurion, the soldiers, the prisoners, people who were just there for support of Paul, every single one of them got saved from the storm. Every single one of them. You know what that means? They received God's grace just by being in the right boat with the right person. Because Paul was in that boat, there was a prisoner that didn't get sentenced to death on a boat before it shipwrecked. Because Paul was on a boat, that Roman armor, and Mr. David's not here, I'm sure he can tell us how much that stuff weighs, but I'm sure it wasn't light. Somehow they swam to shore and survived. Why? Because God told Paul, hey, listen, Paul, not only are you going to be safe, but everybody who's with you is going to be safe. When you're in the boat with the right people, you get to watch God's grace get poured out on their life. And that's encouraging. And that's strengthening. And that builds our faith together, because now all of a sudden I'm not just watching what God's doing in my life, but I'm watching what God's doing in your life. And I'm encouraged by that. And that gives me the strength to go on. Y'all ever just had a down day? And it's down. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, somebody calls you and they say, hey, listen, this is what happened, and this is what happened. And before you even realize it, you're reminded of all the things that are good in your life. And it's like, hey, you know what? My day's not as bad as I thought it was. And all of a sudden, we're encouraged by the grace of God because we're in the right boat with the right people. Two things this morning. This fellowship is awesome. This is unique. Man, Eugene prayed it, and man, Sunday night following our meeting. This is unique. I don't know why God has brought this fellowship together for this time. But I can't wait to see what he does. Because it's going to be remarkable. We're almost up on our 3-year text anniversary. When you text me for the first time, it's today. Check that out. 3 years ago today, I got a text message from a guy named Michael Moore. I thought he was the documentary guy doing a documentary for me. I was like, yeah, all right. He said, hey, we got your resume. Do you know you sent us a resume? Do you know where we are? I said, Louisiana? That was the start of it. We talked for about an hour and a half that day, I think, on the phone. And as we talked, this realization came in my mind. God wants to change the world from Morningsport, Louisiana. So God, if you want to change the world from Morningsport, Louisiana, let's go. I don't know where it is. Never been there. And y'all are right next to Texas. You know that? I mean, like, it's right there. I firmly believe that this fellowship is going to change the world for the glory of God. So my question for you is, what part, what purpose do you need to serve in that? What blessings do you need to share in other people's lives? What reminder of God's grace do you need to be in people's lives? What fears do you need to expose so that other people can be encouraged and strengthened by watching you go through things? Secondly, just his life in general. Hey, listen, man, if you're going to a place that you don't need to be, with people that you don't need to be, because that's the boat you're in, get out of that boat. God's absolute best is waiting for you. He's waiting for you to get in a boat with people who want the same things from their life that you want from your life. God, thank you for today. Father, thank you so much for a silly illustration and story about getting in the boat with like-minded people. But God, the profound truth that's found in that story, in that phrase, is undeniable. Lord, if we're going to experience our absolute best life in you, God, it's going to be in the fellowship of like-minded people. So Lord, this morning I pray for those individuals that are here, Lord, that need to find a spot to be. They need to serve a purpose. They need to express their fears so that others can grow and can be encouraged. I pray that you would just help bring them home. Father, for those that are here this morning, that God, their life outside of church isn't going in the direction that they really want or that glorifies you. And they feel trapped by those they're surrounded with. But I pray this morning that you would give them the boldness, the courage to say, I'm getting out of that boat. I'm going to surround myself. I'm going to get in a boat with people who want the same thing from life that I do. God, we pray that you would be honored and glorified through everything that's done today. Lord, I pray that from this point on, we would move in a direction that glorifies you with our life, with our church, as a whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.